if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, are a citizen in heaven on temporary assignment on earth.
And Dr. Tony Evans reminds us that we were put here for a reason.
We're in pursuit of the person of Jesus Christ, of maturity in Christ, and fulfilling the purposes of Christ during our tour duty on earth.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. The Bible teaches that while we may be residents on earth, we're citizens of heaven. Today, Dr. Evans will talk about why so many believers seem to act like it's the other way around. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 as he explains.
Perhaps you will remember the story of the man who needed to get his shoes repaired. The shoe repair shop was going to close at 5. It was like a minute to 5, and he knew he wasn't going to get there in time. But he rushed, got there a couple of minutes after 5, and sure enough, the shoe store door was locked. But he could see through the window the shoe repair man closing things up. So he knocked on the window, hoping that the shoe repair man would graciously give him an opportunity to get his shoes repaired, to turn them in. The shoe repair man said, as he came to the door, "I'm closed." But the man said, "Oh, please, let me just drop these off." The repair man said, "Okay." And so he opened the door and let the gentleman in. After taking his shoes, the gentleman said, "Now I noticed that you're closed, but there are no cars on the parking lot. Just mine when I drove up. How are you going to get home? How are you going to get home from your shoe repair shop?" That's when the shoe repair man said, "Oh, you see those steps over there?" He said, "I live here." He said, "I live up there. I just work down here." Some of us don't know where we live, because we've made down here everything. Our series is called The Eternal Perspective. If you will simply remember this, that you live up there, you merely work down here. And if you ever confuse the two and make down here the totality of your existence, then you will miss out on your true home. You'll miss out on future reward, but you'll also miss out on earthly benefit. That's why I want to talk to you today about your true citizenship. Verse 20 says, your citizenship is in heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven. Most of us grew up saying the Pledge of Allegiance every day in school. "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, you know, one nation, under God, indivisible, offering liberty and justice for all." We go to civic events and sports events and we do the pledge or we sing the national anthem. Those are supposed to be perpetual reminders of our citizenship. They don't want us to forget that we are Americans, and regardless of your political persuasion and which side of the seating chart you happen to be on, what side of the aisle that you happen to sit, they want to remind you over and over and over again, never forget that you're an American. God wants you to be reminded over and over and over again, this is not home. He wants you and me to be reminded over and over again that this short time you're on this planet is not your permanent location, and he doesn't want you either to view it or treat it that way. Even service men and women who serve in our armed forces, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, even though they are stationed around the world, they know wherever they are, that ain't home. They're merely temporary residents in a foreign location, but you won't hear them call that home. They are Americans in a foreign place. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're merely on temporary assignment here. And if you make the temporary assignment, the permanent location, you've gone rogue on God. And you become a cousin of Benedict Arnold. Your citizenship is in heaven. Paul is writing to the Philippian Christians, to the saints at Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony. They had been taken over by Rome, but the Philippians lived outside of Rome. They were a Roman colony outside of Rome, but they came under Roman governance. So Rome shaped their laws, Rome shaped their thinking, Rome shaped their worldview, Rome shaped everything about their lives, because even though they didn't live in Rome, they lived under Rome. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 says that you and I have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That you have been relocated, and that you, if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, are a citizen in heaven on temporary assignment on earth. If you miss that, as we will see in a moment, you miss something big, huge. And if I can get you to switch it today, if I can get you and me and us to understand that we live up there, we merely work down here. Paul writes these Philippian believers, having established that they're citizens, and he wants them to know that I have not already attained it or have become perfect, verse 12. Paul says in everyday English, I have not arrived. Now, wait a minute. Here's the most spiritual, biblical, Holy Spirit-filled man in the New Testament. And the most spiritual, spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-led man in the New Testament said, I have not yet arrived. So if the most spiritual, if the most godly, if the most talented Christian man in the New Testament says, I have not arrived, guess where you and I are? What Paul is saying is, I still have a ways to go. I still have not reached the point of spiritual maturity and accomplishing divine purpose that I was put here for. I have not gotten there yet. So I don't care how spiritual you think you are. I don't care how spiritual you perceive yourself to be. You're not there yet. Because the Christian life is a perpetual life of spiritual development, and your point of perfection will not arrive until your transfer to glory has arrived. So between now and then, we're in pursuit. We're in pursuit of the person of Jesus Christ, of maturity in Christ, and fulfilling the purposes of Christ during our tour duty on earth. He says, I haven't gotten there yet, even though I've been privileged to write 13 books of the New Testament, even though I'm the leader, even though God has given me mysteries he didn't give everybody else, I am not there yet. And so why are you telling us that? Notice what he says in verse 12, in the middle of the verse, I press on. Notice what he says in verse 14, I press on. I press on. The press means to push on. He wasn't gliding through the Christian life. Okay, let me explain something. Salvation is free. You get saved for free because the price has already been paid by the finished work of Jesus Christ, offering salvation free of charge to anyone who comes to him by faith to receive it. Salvation is free. Spiritual development is not. You will never find your divine purpose. You will never grow up to be a spiritual adult by gliding. You must press. In other words, it must be a determined decision to prioritize your spiritual growth and experiencing God's purpose for your life if you ever want to have it. It won't just happen. You won't just wake up one day looking like Jesus. And you won't just wake up one day being perfectly fulfilling the purpose of God for why he saved you and left you here. He says, on that you must press. All of us who have children, they got here for free. They have nothing to do with their conception or their birth. But once they are here, if they ever expect to be a responsible adult, that's going to take some work. That's going to take some pressing. That's going to take some learning. That's going to take some function, because while birth is free, adulthood has a price tag. While salvation is free, becoming mature involves your responsibility. Now, don't get me wrong. God will help you be responsible, but he won't make you be responsible. The Bible is not going to levitate open in the morning because you woke up inviting you to read it today. God is not going to force you on your knees to spend time in prayer with him today. He's not going to force you to do, but he will cooperate with you if you do, which is why James 2 says faith without works is dead. God will support your decision to pursue him. He will not make the decision for you. So he says, I press on. I prioritize the spiritual. Why? Remember, Paul is a citizen of heaven.
But moving forward in faith involves leaving some other things behind. Dr. Evans will come back to tell us about that in just a moment when he continues this message from his series, The Eternal Perspective. This brand new collection will give you a whole new angle on living, working, loving, and serving by helping you see the big picture that pulls all the pieces of your life together. Along the way, you'll discover deeper reassurance, build your confidence, and sharpen your focus on what it means to live a rich, eternal life. Request it right away, and we'll send you all 10 CDs in this brand new collection as our gift when you help support Tony's work with a contribution of whatever amount God leads you to give, large or small. The title again, The Eternal Perspective. Just visit us at TonyEvans.org to get the details and make the arrangements before time runs out on Thursday. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or let one of our resource team members help you day or night at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, here's Dr. Evans with more of today's message.
Notice what he tells you and me. Hold on to your seatbelt. Because he says, this one thing I do, verse 13, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. He says, if you're ever going to get to tomorrow, you got to let yesterday go. Forgetting those things that are behind. Many a Christian is crippled by yesterday. All of us have a yesterday, and there are three things in most of our yesterdays. One, they are the good things that we're proud of, the great accomplishments we've made, the things that we positively have done that benefit us and benefit others. We can look back and say, there's some good stuff back there yesterday. But if you're like most of us, there's some stuff you are ashamed of back there yesterday. Yesterday's got some things you're not proud of. Yesterday has got some mistakes you've made. Yesterday has some sins that you've done. Yesterday has some days you wish you could live over. So you got the bad of yesterday. So we've got good in yesterday, we've got bad in yesterday, and we got ugly in yesterday. Ugly is the stuff folk did to you that you had no control over, that messed you up. Yesterday involved people who abused you. Yesterday involves people who deserted you. Yesterday involves people who have cheated you. So yesterday involves the good and involves the bad, and it involves the downright ugly. But Paul said, if I'm ever going to achieve the purpose for which God created and saved me, and if I'm ever going to achieve the purpose for my life, for why he left me here, I have got to let yesterday go. When I go back home to Baltimore, I run into my homeboys, and some of my homeboys are still stuck in yesterday. We talk about when we used to go play football yesterday. I was there with a guy a couple of years ago. I have a steel plate in my right leg. I got a steel plate in my right leg from football. The guy was playing football. I got hit with a crossbody block. My leg snapped in two. Had to be taken off of the football field into the hospital. They slipped my leg open. They put inside of it a steel plate. That steel plate is there for today. And when I ran into him, he wanted to talk about how he cut me down yesterday. Yeah. He's still stuck in that same spot from yesterday. Now, I got a steel plate in my leg, because that did happen yesterday, but I can't let that plate keep me from walking to tomorrow. You say, but I can't overcome yesterday. Yesterday is so deep. Yesterday is so painful. Yesterday is holding me hostage. He says, well, the way you get over yesterday is you got to press on to tomorrow. He says, I forget those things which are behind, and the way I do that is my pursuit of what is in front of me. Yesterday has some good, yesterday has some bad, yesterday has some ugly. But remember, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, it's still yesterday. And I got some bad news for you. You can't change yesterday. You can't. You can regret it. You can feel bad about it. You can be sad about it. But you can't undo it, because it happened and it's part of your history. But your history does not have to define, your yesterday doesn't have to define your tomorrow. Use your yesterday as a rearview mirror that you peek in every now and then, but live your life in the windshield of where you are going in your pursuit of Jesus Christ, and you must press on. Why? Because you are a citizen of heaven. You're not a slave of earth. He says, I press on, I keep going, and I pursue. Now, Paul had some things. He had some great things in yesterday, because he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a learned man. The Bible talks about his education. It talks about his knowledge. It talks about his achievements. It talks about the greatness of how he climbed the Pharisaical ladder. He had some things to be proud of from yesterday. Oh, but he had some things to be ashamed of for yesterday, because he used to kill Christians for a living. He used to murder. We're talking about a murderer. We're talking about somebody who slew people, who named the name of Jesus Christ. And he never forgot that that happened. But if he would have lived with the fact that that is part of his yesterday, he would have never become the great apostle of God that he became. He had to overcome yesterday through his pursuit of Jesus Christ today. And some things that weren't that good in his background. But he said, I press on. And so I want to challenge you today to not let the devil do a play action on you. Now, for you football fans, you know what a play action is. Play action is when a quarterback comes under center. Hut, hut, hut. He receives the ball. He fakes it to the halfback and makes it look like he's giving it to the halfback so that the halfback can now run through the line. But he actually doesn't give it to the halfback. He just fakes it like he's going to give it to the halfback so the other team will think that the halfback has the ball. But actually, he just pretends to give it to the halfback, but he keeps it himself. He comes and rolls around and throws the ball downfield because he hopes that everybody on the other side of the line was faked out so that they wouldn't see that there was really another play. Satan wants to fake you out, and the football is called yesterday. He wants to fake you out to make you think you are chained to yesterday. You cannot overcome yesterday. That yesterday owns you. And if he can get you to believe it enough, act on it enough, move on it enough, he will throw a pass downfield to cause you to miss out on God's purpose for your life, because he played a play action pass on you and he duped you into thinking that you're defined by your yesterday. Now, yesterday is real. Don't get me wrong. What was good was good. What was bad. And what was ugly was ugly. I'm not suggesting that that's not real. I am suggesting that you are no longer to let the enemy hold you and chain you to it. But that doesn't just come from wishful thinking. He says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press. I keep moving forward. I keep pursuing. I keep pushing forward. Because I want to become mature in Christ, and I want to complete what God laid hold on me for. What does he mean? He means the purpose. You have a purpose. If you're still here, God's not finished. God's not finished. Now, if you're still here, that means he has a purpose for your life and he is not finished. But the clock is ticking, tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. And the longer you are chained to yesterday, the more minutes you are losing today. That's why Paul wants you to know you're not citizens of time, you're citizens of eternity. He wants to give you, he wants to change your mindset. And if I can help you see how tiny time is compared to how long eternity is, it will change what you prioritize. Because the only reason we prioritize time is we make it longer than it really is. Okay, everybody over 40, raise your hand. Okay, you got those hands? Okay. Now, we got folk running around here, 56 years old, talking about I'm in midlife. Okay, so let me explain something. If you 40, the day after you become 40, it's going downhill. It's going downhill. The average age for men is 78, 79. For women, it's 82. So if you 40, okay, you heading south. In the Bible, 40 was a transfer of generation. So a new generation began when the age 40 was reached. So everybody who just raised their hand, I hate to tell you this, but you're on your way out. Now, I know we don't like to know that. We don't like to hear that. And I ain't trying to be morbid. And the television will lie to you. And they help us to forget it, you know. They don't want us to think about that, you know. You put more weaves in your head, you know, to make you look younger, you know. They give you fancy stuff to wear. God wants us to have the proper view of eternity so that we maximize time. You see, your view of eternity affects time. Your view of time affects eternity. So he does not want you to view yourself as a citizen of earth, but as a visitor of earth. And to press in light of eternity, and to press by making it the priority over time. And if you do that, everything changes.
But making that leap can be easier said than done. And Dr. Evans will come back with a final word about that in just a moment. First, though, we only have a few installments left in Tony's current 10-lesson series called The Eternal Perspective. So time is running out on your chance to get this complete set of full-length CDs as our way of saying thanks for your contribution of any amount, large or small, to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Again, you can get all the details and make your request online at tonyevans.org. We also have members of our resource team standing by to help you day and night at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, as we've been learning, salvation is free, but spiritual development isn't. So tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us more about the costs and benefits of pressing on towards spiritual maturity. Right now, though, he's back with a thought about why we can't be looking in two directions at once.
You know why Israel never got to the promised land? They kept looking back. They stayed in the wilderness because they kept looking back. Oh, back in Egypt, the leeks, the garlic, the meat, it was so good. We stuck out here in the promised land. And because right now wasn't going too well because they were in the wilderness, they lost sight of where God wanted to take them. They kept looking back and never went anywhere. Many of us today are being held hostage by yesterday because we won't press on through the wilderness until God breaks us through to the promised land of spiritual maturity and divine purpose.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.